During the 12th holiday, and especially the 12th and 13th of July, some people were giving out gospel leaflets at the various demonstrations. One which I received was entitled, "Ulster Still Says No." It was a very arresting title and a very familiar one. And inside, while it dealt with the troubles of Ulster, it highlighted the fact that many people in this province are still saying no to the Lord Jesus Christ. May well be that in this service this morning, there are those who are still saying no to Christ and who have not received him into their hearts and lives. We come to a scripture this morning, and in this scripture, reminding us that the believer still says no to certain things. We must never forget that the Bible says no to certain things, and that the Christian, therefore, and all who know and love the Lord say no to certain things. We turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 24 to 27. We recognize today that we live in a worldly and in a permissive age. Conformity seems to be the hallmark of this present time. Being with it is the great and sometimes only consideration of many people, making sure that they are conforming to the trends of the present time. The believer, however, must not conform. As the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It is the imperative duty of the believer, the child of God, to be like Moses and to reject the overtures of this world, to reject its pleasures, its pomp, and its position, and to trust God and to go through with him. The believer must live in a constant state of refusing, of saying no to many things, saying no to the power of Satan, saying no to sin, saying no to temptation, and not yielding thereto. And because of that, we will be misunderstood. Because of that, we will be out of step with others. We'll be out of step with the world. We'll be misunderstood. And we'll always be in a minority. That's the difficulty with many today. The world doesn't understand why the Christian is different, why we say no, even in the political realm, in this little province of Ulster. The world doesn't understand why we say no to popery. The world doesn't understand why we say no to ecumenism. The world doesn't understand why we say no to the great world coming church, or no to Antichrist. The world world doesn't understand it. They think we're bigots. They think we're out of step. My, they think we're confused. We're living in a bygone age. But the Bible has never changed. We are actually living in a bygone age. We're living in the age of the Scriptures, or at least we should be, in the Word, which is unchanging and will never change. And so this morning, I want us to consider a man who, with great spiritual power and with the unction of God upon him, refused to comply with the world. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, we read of Moses by faith. Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Notice the word refused. That word simply means rejected, cast aside. He put it away from him. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And in this man refusing, there is the thought of renunciation. He renounced Pharaoh. He renounced Pharaoh's daughter. He renounced the palace. He renounced the privileges that were associated with the palace. He renounced the position that was attached to it. He renounced everything, because this little word refused means so much. There is in it the thought of renunciation. He renounced the privileges, the pleasures, and the pomp, and the position of Pharaoh's dynasty. He didn't want to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And my friend, when we come to Christ, we leave Egypt. We leave Pharaoh's mansions, as it were. We leave the pleasures and the sins of the world. And we renounce the past. We refuse it. We reject it. And when the devil and temptation comes, making overtures, we reject those as well, turning aside and turning away. My friend, how unlike Moses many of us are today. How contrary to the spirit of this great man of God, we bend and we give way here and we give a little there, and we think it's not too bad since we're only giving away a wee bit. But here's a man, and in its totality, he refused all the overtures of the palace and of Pharaoh and all that that meant in the future. His path was completely different. His way was the opposite of Pharaoh's, and he went out following his Lord. Isn't it good to be like that? Even though no one else would join him, no one else from the palace court would say, "Moses, I'll go with you. I'll join you, Moses. I'll go to the land of Midian, to the backside of the desert with you, and I'll be a nobody and a nothing." Moses was alone, and he took a stand for God, and he glorified his Lord. "I'm not ashamed," we sing sometimes, "to own my Lord, nor to defend his cause." Same thing applies in the ecumenical world of apostasy. My friends, there's so much double talk today. There's so much compromise in a so-called new evangelism today. And we are told if we compromise a little here and a little there, God will bless us. Let us ever be faithful and ever be true to the Word of God. There is no quick or fixed, humanly speaking, way to blessing. The way to the blessing of God is obedience to His revealed will, is compliance with His Word, and acceptance of His truth. Whether that cost us much or little, go through with God thy vows to pay, thine all upon the altar lay. Let's not be ashamed to go outside the camp and to separate, renouncing apostasy, renouncing compromise, renouncing liberalism, renouncing the ecumenical movement, and having nothing whatsoever to do with that unclean thing. The Bible says, come ye out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. And so today we need to reiterate where we stand in relation to the Scriptures. And in light of this present ecumenical age, and in light of this present worldly age, where we stand in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said, if ye love me, you'll keep my commandments, and my commandments will not be grievous to you. How many who profess to be Christ's feel that his command to separation is grievous? It hurts them. It causes them pain within and embarrassment without. What a shame that the commandments of the Lord and God's word should be an embarrassment to a Christian, an embarrassment to a believer. Oh, let us nail our colors to the gospel mast. Let us stand up for Jesus Christ. Let's honor his name and be like Moses. Go outside the camp, bearing the Lord's reproach, so that the Lord might be magnified in our lives. We thank God today for this man from whom we may learn, who said no to the world, who said no to the palace of Pharaoh, and said no to the compromise of staying in fellowship with that palace. It involved renunciation. The word refused. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But it also involved tribulation. Because in verse 25 we read that he chose rather to suffer affliction. And that little saying would remind us of tribulation, opposition, and affliction. Moses chose that path. Ours today is not a path of roses. It's not an easy road that we're traveling. It has its steeps and its downs. It has its troubles and its trials. And let's not kid ourselves. Let us remember, this is not an easy road that we're traveling. We have chosen Christ. We're saved by his grace. We're followers of the Lamb. And having chosen that path, let us be convinced from the Scriptures that we're not promised a bed of roses. The man or the woman, the young person, the boy or the girl who's saved and says no to the world and refuses the ecumenical movement and this present day of apostasy, that person, young or old, will have affliction. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction than to continue in the palace of Pharaoh. Sadly, in the ecumenical world today, there are many and they're choosing to stay in the apostasy. They're not prepared to step out in faith. And therefore, they're not prepared for the pathway of tribulation that results from it. There are those who profess to love the Lord, and they're not prepared to leave the pathway of worldliness. And they too are equally not ready to suffer the path of affliction in being different from the world. Friend, these things bring their opposition. They bring their hardships. How many of us are ready and are prepared to make our stand on scriptural grounds for our Lord and his Christ? To do so, you'll be misunderstood. People will wonder why you do it. You'll be denounced and opposed. But here's a man, the man Moses, and he took a stand for the Lord. May we in this church, in face of whatever tribulation may come to us, in face of whatever affliction may be around the corner, that we also will choose rather to suffer for Christ. We don't know what the future holds, not for us as individuals, or as families, or as a church, but God knows the future. God knows what's around the corner. He's the omnipotent, almighty one. May we be willing to follow him every day. In Moses' refusal, not only was there renunciation and opposition or affliction, but you notice in verse 25 that there was humiliation. For he not only chose to suffer affliction, but goes on to say he chose to suffer that affliction with the people of God. Not in the might of Pharaoh's palace, not amongst the royalty and the prestigious of his day, but with the people of God. Who were the people of God? The people of God were those who were slaves, those who made bricks without straw, those who were under the taskmasters of Egypt, those who received the flail and the whip, those who were persecuted and scorned, those who were looked upon as nothing in the eyes of the Egyptians. And for Moses to make such a choice and to take this course of action, it was a step of humiliation out of the palace to be amongst the afflicted people of God. I wonder, are we prepared today to humble ourselves and to step down from the ladder of pride, from the scaffold of haughtiness, and to step amongst the people, the despised people of God, take our stand for Christ amongst them, unashamed. Here Moses humbled himself and took this step of faith and took a stand with the afflicted and opposed people of God. In verse 26, we read that he esteemed the reproach of Christ. There was an estimation in his mind. He sat down and he considered the matter, and he was figuring it all out, and he was estimating in his mind, and he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches or greater than the treasures of Egypt. You see, Moses didn't want or didn't have to wait till he got to heaven to receive the reward of his doings and of his stand, because he esteemed that the treasures of Egypt were not to be compared to the greater riches that were in Christ. And therefore, in his heart he was content. In his mind he was content. In his soul there was assurance. And into his being there rushed the mighty stream of the riches of God and the grace of God. And throughout all his veins and sinews and every part of his being, Moses was filled with the knowledge of the riches of God and the riches of Christ. And my friend, all the treasures of Egypt can't give it to you. All the treasures of all the pharaohs of this world cannot give it to you. This world cannot give it to us. And praise God, it cannot take it from us. Wasn't Pharaoh give Moses these riches? This heart riches, these soul riches, these heavenly riches, these eternal riches. Pharaoh couldn't give them. Pharaoh couldn't take them away. Egypt couldn't give them. Not all the kingdoms of the world could give them. And praise God, the world cannot take it away either. Oh, let us make the wise choice. Let us serve the Lord. Let us go through with God and worship only him. You notice in verse 27, the first part of the verse, it speaks of separation. It says he forsook Egypt. He forsook Egypt. There should be a clean and clear-cut separation, a clear line of demarcation. Moses cut his ties with Pharaoh. Moses cut his ties with the palace. Moses cut his ties not only with Pharaoh and with the palace, but with all Egypt. Nothing more to do with it. He left it. He forsook Egypt. That's a great testimony. Oh, would to God that that testimony could be writ large upon every Christian's heart and upon every Christian's forehead. That man has forsaken Egypt. That woman has forsaken Egypt. in its totality, out from worldliness, out from ecumenism, out from false religion, out from deception, out from all these things. He forsook Egypt. He had no ties any longer with it. No ties with apostasy. Oh, have you got any ties with apostasy, friend? Have you any ties with ecumenism? Have you any ties with the compromise of this world? My friend, take a leaf out of Moses' book and unashamedly forsake Egypt. For there was no blessing of God in Egypt. And God will not bless apostasy nor ecumenism, in spite of all the nice things that are said and all the wonderful things that are written and all the enticing words that are spoken. God will not bless apostasy. And Moses forsook Egypt. He had no compromise with the idolatry of the palace, with the false religion of Pharaoh. He had no compromise. What fellowship hath light with darkness? The Bible says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? The Bible says, what fellowship hath Christ with the devil? The Bible asks the question, what relationship can the temple of God, that is, those of you and me who are saved, what relationship can we have with the house of idols and the house of idolatry? You see, water and oil can't mix. Light and darkness can't mix. One will dispel the other. And friend, isn't it like that with the Christian church? And with those of us who love the Savior, there's no mixing with the world. There's no mixing with idolatry, with the apostasy of ecumenism today. We forsake Egypt. And then you'll notice in verse 27 that it says he had respect. He had respect. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but rather seeing him who is invisible. That's the bit I want you to get in closing. Seeing him who is invisible. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Friend, that's where the secret of victory comes in. We don't get our eyes on the situation around, on the great multitude that's against us. If we do, we're bound to fail. We don't get our eyes on ourselves or on our fellow Christians. If we do, we're bound to fail. If Moses had set his eyes on Pharaoh, had set his eyes on the riches of the palace, had set his eyes upon himself, or even had set his eyes upon his fellow Israelites enslaved by the taskmasters. We saw their need. He saw their oppression. But he didn't fix his heart on them for hope. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. In other words, he lifted his eyes off everything else and everybody else, and he gazed on the Lord. He looked to God. That gives us hope and speaks of the future. Thank God there's a day coming. Moses had respect for the recompense of the reward. There was a reward, a day coming. And friend, there's a great day coming. Have we respect for that day? Do we reckon with the recompense of that great day? The Lord's coming. The day of the Lord is drawing nigh. Oh, thank God there's a better day coming, when God's poor, downtrodden people, it happened in Egypt, They were enslaved, but a better day came. God came down. God delivered them. And God brought them out. And he brought them into the promised land. And friend, for you and for me, there's a better day coming. And praise God, we can look to him, enduring the tribulations of this present time, the misunderstandings, the taunts of this present age. We'll endure looking unto him who is invisible with the eye of faith, looking unto Christ, looking unto our blessed Savior, knowing that he's coming one day. And one day we'll hear him say, "Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And does he not say to us by encouragement this morning, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you that kingdom"? And my friend, let us endure. Well, we brought nothing into this world. It sure will bring nothing out of it. Like Moses, we'll leave it all behind. He left all of Egypt behind. But praise God, there's a day coming. And there's a recompense. And there's a reward. And the Lord will faithfully reward all those who have been faithful to his word, and to his Christ, and to his commandments. Are you prepared to take your stand in this evil day, to be numbered amongst his remnant few, and to say, "Lord, I'll go outside this camp. I'll forsake all and I'll follow you. I'll go through with God. I'll go through with God"? Will you go through with God today? Remember, the sands of time are sinking. The glory dawneth nigh. And friend, listen. One day, we're going to stand with him in glory. And in Emmanuel's land, we'll understand all about it. As we look back and survey the path which we have trodden, praise God, heaven's clarity will explain everything to us when we're throned where glory dwelleth, in Emmanuel's land.